take my freedom, for you can't take.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here along with my co-hosts, Justin Cook and James Sloan. Guys, how you doing tonight?
Good, Brian.
Justin, how about you, pal? You must be on mute.
Hey, Justin, not bad. Yeah? Sorry, I was just muted for a second. Yeah, I'm here.
It's all right. It's all right.
That's all right.
So, it's been a few weeks since we did a show, but everybody wants to talk about the Ebola scare, obviously, whether it's real, whether it's a hoax, whether it's a combination of both, whether it's, you know, to scare us before something's released, whether it's just totally fabricated, like a lot of the hoaxes are. So, I think Justin wanted to lead it off.
This is something here. I mean, you know, we have the fear mongering is insane. You know, and it's not just coming from the mainstream media. It's, coming from pretty much, you know, the alternative media. You have, you know, Jones and company, and, you know, not just him, Mike Adams, National News. They're all just, you know, reporting this stuff about the Mexican border, and, you know, they're feeding into it. And what does this fear do? You know, but really just, it just turns people into, like, for me, it sounds like it's just free advertisement for the Anderson Coopers and all these people that we're supposed to be against. You know, the whole thing about it is like, you know, it really makes me wonder, you know, because we've seen so many examples of the fakery already. We'll get into them, during the show. But, I mean, you know, we've seen so many examples of this. And if this is, you know, indeed a 100% legitimate threat, then why aren't they, you know, taking precautions? As you can't tell me government is that bad. And then secondly, why would they need to fake this stuff? You know, why would they have an empty stretcher going into, you know, coming out of the airplane and everything and going into an ambulance? You know,
it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Justin, one of you guys or James has your chat sounds on. The bottom left of the chat, there's a speaker icon. You got to click it. It keeps pinging over the broadcast. There you go. It's off. Nope. There it goes. It just popped again.
Where is it?
And you look at the chat where you type in the chat.
Yeah.
Right below it on the left is a speaker icon. You see it? It's black. Right next to the little email icon.
Call quality information, hide contacts, hide IM.
No, the chat for the website, not for Skype.
Oh, for the website.
Yeah, man.
Alright, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and continue talking while I figure this out.
Right below where you type in, there's a speaker icon on the left. Just click it so it's off.
Okay, why? What is it giving it feedback?
It's making a beep noise every time somebody types in the chat. It's going over the air.
Oh, okay.
That's all everybody hears.
All right, I think we should be good now.
All right. So, yeah, I'll just say something real quick. I didn't mean to throw you off. It was just going to keep doing it, though, you know. So the fear-mongering that you were speaking of, I was looking just a little while ago before the show, and the Boston Globe actually had a headline in there where it said something to the effect of if the Ebola outbreak scare wasn't scary enough for you, here's some movies to scare the crap out of you this weekend. And it was all movies like Outbreak and all these movies about diseases being airborne and stuff. That's what they had. They didn't even pull no punches. They went right to it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's almost comedic at this point. And I don't know that the regular people at the Boston Globe or whatever know this, but we know that regardless of sensationalism sells and you know, they may not have the memo that, you know, not saying it's 100% fake. I do think that there may be some real cases of it in Africa, not here. I don't think that it's. But I do think that even the most of it over there is phony. I mean, earlier I ran into something on Facebook, and, you know, the thing is, I've been reading about this for quite a while now, a theory that's been going on, and this is very similar to a theory that happens with a lot of these so-called outbreaks. I mean, Let's just backtrack a little and talk about like AIDS, for example, or HIV.
Yep.
Now you had all these people in the 80s that were dying, but what was the common denominator of it? They were all given AZT. Now AZT wrecks.
What's AZT?
It's just like a it's kind of like a chemotherapy type drug where it's like, you know, it's giving you chemicals, and they said it was supposed to fight off the AIDS or what, you know, fight off the HIV, but in reality, it turned your immune system into shit. I can what's the guy's name? John Rappaport actually wrote a book about it. And he believes they're doing the same thing here, where it's like, you know, the so-called cure is actually the poison pill, you know, and it makes sense that. Go ahead.
I think Justin has a little issue with his animal over there.
Yeah, she's trying to go outside. She can't go outside too late.
Weren't they all busters? I mean, weren't they all gay as well?
What, the early AIDS patients?
Yeah, everyone thought it was a gay plague at first until like the early 90s.
Yeah, they were calling it gay cancer.
Yeah, but you said they must have just picked gay people for the
I think they had a few reasons. I mean, because for one thing, I mean, gay people, you know, at the time were known for being very promiscuous, you know, getting together in bathhouses and you know, running the train on each other, for lack of a better term or whatever. And so they tried to, you know, who knows? I mean, it also hit minorities very hard also. And you know, and once it hit the drug communities and, you know, I don't know the exact motives of it. I'm thinking it was definitely a scare campaign as well. And I'm not saying that AIDS 100% is fake, but I'm just saying that I don't know that HIV necessarily leads to AIDS without, you know, help from other, you know, things pushing it that way. You know what I mean? Because I guess there was people that stopped taking AZT, and those are the people that are still alive. So, I mean, you know, you have to look at that.
You know, don't they say AIDS 100% would kill you eventually? Like, last time I looked, they said there was no cure, or like they just drag it out.
I don't know. Yeah, well, you know, they say that pretty much that the AIDS doesn't kill you eventually, that pneumonia or something like that will kill you because you have a weakened immune system, pretty much. But the thing about it, now, if you look at an AIDS patient, you know, or what do you see? You see a guy that's lost a ton of weight. You see a guy that can barely eat and everything else. What does that look like? It looks like a cancer patient, right? Now, what's the common denominator? Is, you know, drugs with chemicals in them that harm the immune system. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, some cancer patients pull through, but, you know, a lot of them die too, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. It's really kind of out there, but I mean, you know, when you think about it with this stuff, you know, knowing that the depths they've gone on these deceptions, you know, who are we to say what's phony and what's not? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. Well, we did for the people out there that are looking and wondering what's going on with the website on the right side of where you're chatting, a little bit down, just below the email form thing. There's a few videos listed underneath the Ebola scare videos for tonight, and we're not gonna, you know, play them all right now, but we're going to comment on them a little bit. The first one is it's a pretty good one, man. And if you don't want to watch the whole thing, we recommend you do. I mean, you really got to – can you do 15 minutes of research for a video if you really want to know? You know what I mean? But for people that can't, if you just go like 2.5 minutes in, you see them putting they don't put anything into it. You see them transporting an empty containment unit. How ridiculous was that, Justin?
Yeah, with the IV bag on the outside of the unit as well. Now everything is supposed to be in this airtight, oxygen tight, tent tight, stretcher, and the IV bag is on the outside. And then, and a closer look, you see the picture, and there's nobody in it. You know, and
nobody.
And we have
it's
this
totally clear.
Yeah, totally clear. You could see 100%. They have like something looking like, not like a person, but like looking like a hump in there, like, in, you know, I don't know. They couldn't even hire someone to land there. I think I think it's like one of the breadcrumbs.
It's almost like they want to get caught now. I was talking with somebody today, and I know he's listening right now. He was talking about it looks like they, as each thing goes, like how ridiculous the marathon stuff was after the 9/11 and right. You know, the Sandy Hook, and it's like, you know, it's just getting more sloppy and more sloppy. Because I mean, this is absurd. And if you guys watch that video, it's a pretty long video. So you'll see them calling in. They're just moving one person. They're calling in like a caravan of cars. There's like three ambulances, yeah. A few cop cars. I don't know. It's just absurd. And like Justin said, so this person's supposed to be sealed off because of the virus or whatever. That's why these guys have the hazmat suits on. But yet the IV unit is on the outside and somebody's just holding it up. So how's that IV unit getting inside and not contaminating? Like how is it sealed? You know what I mean? It's a little absurd. But besides that, I mean, there's nobody in the thing. There's nobody in the thing. They thought they were far away or whatever, or maybe they want to get caught. I don't know. But with a good zoom in a few times, you can see in several different cases. Just keep watching the video because it's not just when they're at the top of the stairs getting in and out of the airplane, whatever. They're transporting it, you know, down on the ground and stuff, and you can still see this. James, you've seen this, right?
Yeah, it was sort of getting into like moon landing territory. We've got airtight IV technology now. I don't know why you would need it. it's ridiculous.
Well, you know this. The thing about it too is, I mean, you know, when you look at that and you look at like, you know, the grand media display behind it, and then they killed the guy's dog. Was named Excalibur, by the way.
Oh, I know, man. That's the pull at the heartstrings. That's like the jumpers on 9/11 type story of the day came in the bottom.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then there's also, no, so we got this containment unit that's empty. We got the things being done against procedure if there was a person in it. And then we also have, I got some still images that I'll paste in the chat for you guys. I didn't get a chance to throw them up on the site, but I'll just throw the links in there. Obviously, you guys all have the internet and you can check. In a few cases, we'll start with the Dallas one, okay? There was a judge that went into that apartment, and there was a few other people with him too. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't grab the one of them because I didn't know how to properly source it, like who it was. But there was a judge that was supposedly so brazen or so stubborn that he went into the infected apartment where that guy Duncan was, and he goes in with no gear. And here's a picture of it right here. I just put it in the chat for you guys.
Speaking of the same apartment too, Then we have the whole thing where you have the guys cleaning the blood or whatever, the cleaning right outside the apartment. They're just blowing it, you know, right down the street, right down the drain or whatever. No precautions whatsoever, no suits, just a power washer. You know, and that's the thing, you know, like we're talking about the spankings. I think they leave breadcrumbs. I think they want to see how many people are awake, how many people are seeing this stuff. I think it's beta testing to a point, and I think it's also, you know, that there's some people that are, you know, among their group there that, you know, like let them know, like, hey, all right, this isn't a problem, don't worry about it, type thing. I don't know. I think it's a combination of both, but I think that
I think it's also just like that sickness of just, you know, they're laughing, you know, they put stuff in there just to,
yeah. And that's not just one case where maybe one person slipped up. There's another one, and I'll drop it in the chat right now. And I just saw it for the first time a few minutes ago. The second nurse that supposedly got sick, and she's being transferred from Texas to Atlanta. Maybe she must have been working on that other guy or whatever because she got sick in the hospital. She's from Dallas. So she's moving from Dallas to Atlanta, and they're moving her body. And it does look like it's her this time. But now you got another guy out there. He's just got a short sleeve shirt on and a pair of khakis. And everybody else around him got the hazmat suits on. And he's in direct contact with the victim. Like, it's absolutely absurd. I'm going to post that in the chat right now. I want you guys to take a look at this guy. This guy's a tool bag. Absolute tool bag. Well, not a tool bag because there's nothing's going to happen to him. You just got to scroll down a little bit when the link goes up. I think it's taking so long with this link. Oh, here we go. It just takes a second to load up. There's like seven pictures of them there. Take a look at that link, guys. Look at all the people. They look like Marty McFly in Back to the Future with the hazmat suit, with the hood and everything. And this guy's out there with a pair of sunglasses, a short sleeve polo shirt, and a pair of dark blue khakis.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. Real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't know if Ruggs is breaking balls or not, but he says three of Glenn Beck's staffers live in an apartment complex nurse lived in. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't see any of that.
check the chat. I don't know if you can
Oh, I see it. Yeah, I see that he wrote that. Yeah, it's the first I've heard of it. You know what? It's not the first I heard of it. I saw Glenn Beck posted the letter. He said three of the people he works with got this letter today, and it was about a person in their area that had the thing. I didn't know that it specifically said in a certain apartment building or whatever, but it was definitely three people on his staff.
Oh, I saw
the picture of the letter. I mean, you know, I don't know how credible it is, but that's what he showed on his feed earlier.
Yeah, well, for a guy in on the scam, you know what I mean? Fucking, it's not...
Nah, Bobby, we know you're not breaking balls. I seen it. But if you can get the link, that'd be awesome. Throw it in the chat for everybody, because we'll need to take another look at that, too. But yeah, guys, take a look at that second picture. Now, that's the guy that was... I put my little notes next to it. It's not really typed out properly, but that's the guy with the second nurse transferring her from the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas to Emory Hospital in Atlanta. And this was tonight. This was Wednesday evening. And that's the guy right there with the short sleeve shirt. And there's a lot more. And we'll get to the other videos in a minute. I mean, this is... James, what's it like over there? Because over here right now, it's getting kind of panicky. I'm not going to lie. There's, like, a lot of stuff popping up locally. Like, they shut down part of a hospital in Braintree for a little bit, which is right next to Fenway Park. It's basically Boston. They said the person in this other spot in Massachusetts had it. And then they take back the stories and say these people don't have it. And then you hear about this place and that place and the other place. Is it, like, are they saying it over there at all? Or are there no reported cases in New Zealand? Or what's the deal?
Oh, no, there's been no reported cases, although in Australia, which is right next to us, there's been like a couple. Oh, there's been two or three, like, supposed, you know, people come through on a plane. They always seem to get on a plane, these people, I don't know. But, you know, and they you say, oh, it's very unlikely, and it turns out that it's nothing. But it definitely seems to be like they've stepped it up a bit from, you know, what the SARS and the bird flu and stuff was. It's definitely like a step up. Although I think SARS and bird flu were like pretty close to each other, if I remember correctly, a couple of years apart. But it's been about 8 or 9
years. Yeah, they
years
were close.
Since they'd done one of these sorts of things. So it's the first time in a while, yeah.
Right. Well, another thing I want to get. Yeah, that's true, because you're not that far from Asia. So you probably had some scares with that. You know, one thing about this too is a lot of the debates I see going on, and I mean, you know, let's be honest, let's put what I believe and what I think everybody else believes on the table first and foremost, and that's the big thing here is the vaccine. You know what I mean? It's not about Ebola. I'm
not already been mentioned. I've already heard them pushing
it. Okay. Yeah. No, exactly. You know, so I mean, it's like. Obviously, you know, I don't want to even buy into the martial law, but you know, here's the thing. People are going to be lining up to get this shot. They don't need to come in and force everybody to take it. You know, I guarantee 80% of the population goes and takes this voluntarily.
That's what might makes the sickness real. When all these people start getting sick,
yep.
And then people think it's because the people that aren't vaccinated, but it's really them.
Exactly. You know, and think about it. What a good way to turn everybody on the people like us. You know what I mean? The people that are skeptical and, you know, people that are into more natural, you know, approaches of living and aren't into the vaccines and whatnot. You know, that's a good way to fracture the, you know, the remaining, hey, conspiracy theorists are now a risk to everybody type thing, you know, and anti-vaxxers and everybody else they want to demonize.
I think there's a few anti-vaxxer types that would fall for this vaccination.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely, James.
It's that emotional attachment. It's that emotional attachment because it's the current thing, you know? Sorry, Justin. Go ahead.
No. I even cut off James, but no, I think he's right. Someone was even saying it earlier on the status I put up on Facebook, and they were saying how they were in a girl was in a group of mothers, anti-vaxxers, and you know, and some of them have said that they would even get it because, in other words, like damned if you do, damned if you don't type thing. Like, you know, whether they get it or not, that the shedding off it, you know, because you're getting a live virus that it's going to get, you know, brought to the next person. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a big, you know, mind war here, and you know, I don't really know. I just I personally don't want anything to do with any of their vaccines. And, you know, I mean, obviously GlaxoSmithKline and who was the other? There's two other pharmaceutical companies involved who have the contracts from the CDC and the National Institute of Health to make these, you know, vaccines. So, I mean, you know, that's the main thing here is the vaccine push. But, I mean, you know, the sad thing is when you see the alternative media talking about it, that's like one of the last things they're mentioning. They're not. They're still talking about it coming over the border and Obama being a, you know, his ineptitude at stopping the flights, you know, and that was the first symbol to me that this wasn't legit, because in all seriousness, anybody, I don't care who you are, a disease that's 70% or more deadly, you're gonna stop the flights coming from that country. You're not just gonna let people in willy nilly, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, especially not, like, the States.
Yeah, they're just letting everybody in. People are all flipping out, like, Obama's going to let everybody get sick, 90% of the population's going to die, and it's all just fear-mongering, yep. You know? And like I was saying earlier about people pushing the fear without really researching something, it's like, what about that picture I posted of the guy from U2, you know? And people were saying that was him saying he had Ebola, but it really was just a snapshot of him from a video from the past. And people were saying, you know, not that he wouldn't push it, because he would, but right. People were running with it saying he did.
Yeah, that's definitely a satire site or a wanna, you know, or a, you know, someone looking for clicks. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's the thing. But see, people see that stuff and they run with it, you know, and that's the thing about the internet. Like, you know, and I don't mean like people following legit conspiracy theories, but people following, you know, these things like that. It's just it kind of turns our credibility to shit when you see people following some of these things and posting it. And, you know, but I don't know. I don't mean to say I'm attached to anyone else's credibility, because, you know, besides from these two here, I don't, you know, put my name to anything else. But, you know, but just in general, people, you know, they do bunch us together. People that think outside of the box, whether they're thinking they're still stuck in the, you know, InfoWars box or whatever box, they look at us all as the same.
Yeah, I think some of those satire sites might be deliberately there, you know, for precisely that purpose. Yeah, because that's what people do. They do lump groups together. That's part of the reason why. Well, you said there really was no 9/11 truth movement, but, you know, it's why, even if there was, it was never able to get off the ground, because there was so much division. And that's what I remember, that's what people used to say back in the day, you know, you guys can't even get your story straight, you know.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, because, you know, 9/11 turned out to be such a bigger event, you know, I mean, not bigger event, but a bigger fraud than most realize it, and so many people wanted to stop at the first level, and some wanted to stop at the second level, and, you know, instead of keep going and you know, and find out the whole truth. But I mean, you know, it's, and that could go with anything. I mean, we can look at, you know, Sandy Hook or Boston Marathon bombing, where, you know, people just want to say, hey, people did die, the Tsarnaevs were just, you know, Boston bombing, let's just say, look at that case, the Tsarnaevs were just FBI patsies. But then you look into it, and it's like, well, what if, you know, what if that's fake? What if, you know, what if, you know what I mean? And that's where you get down to it, and that's where you see that the gatekeepers won't go there. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah, well, 9/11 was so compartmentalized, because they had, because originally back in the day they were saying you had like the LIHOP and the MIHOP, but before that you actually had Michael Moore, who was more just like the whole incompetence theory, you
right.
know, but not even really a truther, like, you know, not even a lie hop, but just an incompetence, you know.
Yeah, they, he was borderline lie hop, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, they got every base covered.
You know, what's weird too is because when Fahrenheit 9/11 had first come out, I bought into that, you know, and you know, I think I was, you know, I was obviously anti-Bush. I didn't know yet about the whole two-party fraud thing. Like, I never really trusted I never voted in my life for a presidential election. But, you know, I looked at it and I said, wow, this guy's onto something. You know, we talked about the Saudis being on the planes and, you know, plane trips back. But little did I realize he wasn't even tracking the surface, which, I mean,
you know, when I saw Loose Change, it, you know, it really, and even that now in hindsight barely cracked the surface, and it left a lot of bad theories around. But you know what I mean?
Yes, especially the first one.
Yeah, well, I think the second edition was the first one I saw, but either way, yeah. I mean, I did watch one first, later.
Yeah, the first one, I think Jehan over at Let's Roll had a fair bit to do with the first one.
Yeah,
they had
the first one I saw was the third.
Yeah, the first one had the pods in, Pod and Flash, and they took that out for the second one.
I thought the third was the best because it was produced, even though without the disinformation that we know now, but at the time, it was produced well out of all of them, but so was the last. But the last one had Alex Jones for 15 minutes at the beginning, so Pod 3 was the best one, I thought.
The last two had far less like bad information, but unfortunately, the second one was the biggest. You know, I don't know how many people bothered watching the third, especially the fourth.
Yeah, I watched them all. I went back and watched them all. The one I stumbled on Netflix was the third edition. I didn't know there was different editions at the time. Obviously, I just watched it. Then I found out there was all these different versions, so I watched them all. That was like the first movie for a lot of people with the 9/11. I don't want to go down 9/11 too much, but I'm just saying, as far as documentaries, that was like huge.
I think that night, 90% of the people that are around now that are researchers got turned on by, you know, Loose Change or In Plain Sight or one of those movies. Whether you know,
well,
you
some
like,
say Zeitgeist, but I've Zeitgeist never seen that. Well. I don't know. Is that worth me watching now or no?
I don't. I mean, the only thing worth watching is the religion thing, and even that, the religion thing kind of pushes a lot of disinfo and a lot of stuff that's been debunked. And I mean, yes, there is some you know applicable things about it, but he totally oversold it, and then he tried to turn it into a movement amongst itself. Which the guy's a huckster, if you ask me personally, but you know, but regardless, I don't know. I think you're way past Zeitgeist to even need to go back and watch it, to be honest. But
yeah, that's what I figured, you know. But if you told me I should see it, I'd watch
it. There's go ahead.
Yeah, In Sight was the first one that I saw. That was December 2004. I downloaded it by accident, actually. I didn't know what I was downloading, but
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I was 15, I think. 14
wow,
or 15.
Man. I'm still amazed at how young you picked that shit up.
Yeah, mine was 2005, so you're even ahead of me.
I was like 2009, almost 2010.
Yeah, but you know, it's not rocket science either. I mean, you know, if
you... No, you just got to be presented with it, and if you have an open mind, you know, that's what it's all about. Justin, do you want to comment on what the people will see on the second video? Just to refresh you, that's the one with the ambulance, the guy, the little boy.
Yeah.
And after that, the guy with the green shirt outside the makeshift hospital, if you want to tell people
right.
What that's about.
Definitely. I mean, all right, now here's the deal, guys. You know, obviously like everybody else, I'm sure you guys have all been going through different YouTube channels, and I want to give credit to where credit is due with these. I think it's Red Pill Revolution and Real Radio Revolution and NoDisinfo.com. I got to say those three sites, you know, have been nailing this. I'm sure there's others too, but that's pretty much where I've been going for information because it seems like they're always popping right up on my YouTube thing, or if I type in Ebola hoax, it comes right up. But anyway, what this guy in this video is talking about here is it's not only the it's like a mind control thing. Now, if you look at it, these guys are wearing green shirts all the time, and if you look at a lot of them now, not all of them, but a lot of the ones that are, you could tell they're part of the help or part of the whatever. It actually says in the back, Ebola is real, and we'll get back to that later. But you know, the fact that they're pushing this green on everything, and we saw the guy Duncan, whatever the hell his name was, you know, the guy with seven names, Eric Duncan Clark or what, you know, whatever his name was, the guy that ended up dying in Dallas. Supposedly, he was also seen every time with a green shirt on. But getting into the video, you know, this is stuff that was actually on CNN. And, you know, you see two guys with, you know, no visible hemorrhaging or anything like that. And they're saying they're in the later stages of Ebola. And they're naked in a truck and they're falling out of the back of the truck. And it's like, you know, why are they in the back of the truck? Why aren't they being rushed to a hospital? You know, I mean, obviously we're being told that the places are understaffed. Okay. Well, a couple minutes later, a little boy comes walking up, also ass naked. And
this is good. He's running, actually.
Yeah, yeah. The kid comes up like in a slow jog, you know, and, yeah. and all of a sudden he notices that he's in the camera view, and the kid just does like a dive, like, you know, like not even a dive, but like a slow drop on the
road. Plays dead. Oh, yeah. I'm sick. Like the biggest fake job you've ever seen. Like if little 8-year-old kids were doing it outside your house, and one shot somebody with a fake gun, and they played dead. That's what it looked like.
Yep, the kid just drops on the ground, and the fact that CNN aired that, you know, I mean, obviously they have no credibility, but the fact that they aired that right there just shows, you know,
it's terrible. Obviously,
everybody's complicit.
That's the second video, guys. That's at the 6-minute mark. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, there's other parts to it. Towards the end of the movie, I think it's maybe the 8-minute, 9-minute marks on. You see a guy getting handed money and walking away. You know, it's like he did his part in the hoax or whatever, you know. And there's another video I couldn't find, and another – there's so many of them out there now. There's where they show a woman getting dragged by all fours by, you know, four men in hazmat suits. And, you know, it says, you know, woman with late-stage Ebola getting – brought into Monrovia, Liberia Hospital, you know, whatever it was. And really, that's how you would treat someone. You'd grab a leg and just drag them in instead of grabbing a stretcher and throwing them on the stretcher, you know. like wouldn't you be worried that would cause more, you know, especially if this causes lesions and stuff like that. Wouldn't you worry that grabbing them by the ankles and wrists might break open some lesions and leave you more of a chance of getting infected? It just it's very dramatic. And also, too, if you look at the screenshot of it, the guy laying on the ground, now he looks to be in pretty good health, and that's the thing, a lot of these guys look to be in pretty good health, and they're just laying on the ground, flopping and moaning, and, you know, I don't know, to me it doesn't seem real. That's the whole thing about it. Maybe there is some cases, and like I said earlier, and like I was going to get back into the reason why they have these Ebola is real shirts, because countries like Liberia and Nigeria and stuff have been throwing out, you know, this is, I remember seeing this back last spring, Doctors Without Borders was accused of spreading it. So, you know, these people have caught on, and now they believe that anywhere the Red Cross is, that's where it's being spread. And we know how corrupt the Red Cross is. So, I mean, you know, I believe these people that, you know, supposedly that there's been a lot of censorship going on, that these people are trying to get the word out. But, you know, the main thing about it is that, you know, they don't trust these people either, and they're just blaming it on them being ignorant, and then they throw out the things that they eat, monkey meat and dog and this and that, which may be true, but, you know, that kind of sounds like the old HIV lie that somebody got it by banging a monkey.
They showed it in one of those videos, from that that Freedom Radio or whatever. It shows the guys eating monkey, and the announcer, not the announcer, but not the guy narrating the video, but the guy in the video, you know, the host of the show, whatever, right, they're doing the interview. He's, like, basically talking to them like they're all gross and they're going to pass Ebola. He even asked them straight up, is that an Ebola monkey? Like, it's so staged, so ridiculous. And that same video Justin was talking about, 8 minutes in, it shows a guy laying on the ground with a green shirt, always with a green shirt.
Yep.
Laying down outside the makeshift hospital. It looks like almost like an outhouse with no roof, for Christ's sakes. And he's just like, oh, I'm so sick. Now, you guys got to kind of ignore the narrator of the video a little bit. He's a little over the top with it. He is right. He's calling it for what it is. But he gets a little crazy with it, hooting and hollering and clapping his hands and stuff. It's kind of funny, but it's not the most professional thing. But, just focus on the content of the video. I mean, it's just so over the top. And like Justin was saying about the green shirt thing, it's just the littlest things that they do to, like, program you. And if you notice below that video, there's a third one. If you want to take the time to watch that, I don't have timestamps from it because it's kind of just all over the place. It's all different parts of this Ebola thing where they're using the color green. And it's like every flyer they pass out, every, like, staff that they see working on it, every person that supposedly has it, they arrive in a green outfit. Like, it's really – it is pretty much everywhere. It's not just in their imagination. James, you have anything you want to say about it before we get into maybe what some of the motives of this are? Because we were talking about that good little thing we read about, you know, about the workers. We'll get into that in a second. Is there anything else you want to touch on about the Ebola?
I think we've pretty much covered most of the basic stuff.
Yeah, so why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. Tonight, we are going to get into a few other things, but right now we're still discussing Ebola, and we all read a little article recently that may be some of the motives of the of why they would be pushing this hoax, besides the normal fear angle, and besides the normal, you know, we think they're going to push vaccines on us over here. Justin, you want me to start on that, or? James, are you there?
Hello.
All right, I guess Justin must be away for a second. Justin, I don't know, maybe you're muted. We can't hear you. But anyways, I'll start on it.
Yeah, I'm muted, but yeah, go ahead and start on it. Like, if I have anything to add, I'll interject. But yeah, go ahead and start on that.
All right, so this little thing I was reading says that... I'm going to read most of it. So... This I haven't verified this yet. I actually just got this information to me maybe like a couple hours ago. But it seems like it's just a theory of what could be the motive. So it's not really anything that needs to be debunked. I mean, it sounds like a pretty good idea to me. I'll just read it to you. Well, at first they mentioned – I'll paraphrase here. At first they mentioned the Ebola sickness was introduced into West Africa. The goal is to get troops on the ground. Now, Obama mentioned this in a little speech he made earlier today, which I'll go back and I'll give you the quote to that. But he did mention about troops over there to fight the Ebola. Now, that's what they're disguising it as, to fight the Ebola. One of the main reasons, though, is Sierra Leone is the world's largest supplier of diamonds. Now, I'm just going to read. So for the past 4 months, they've been on strike, refusing to provide diamonds due to the horrible working conditions and slave pay. The West, us, will not pay a fair wage for the resources because the idea is to keep these people surviving on rice bags and foreign aid so that they remain a source of cheap slave labor forever. A reason was also needed to get troops on the ground in Sierra Leone to force the end to the diamond miners' strike. So we want to go over there and force them back to work, you know, whatever the conditions are, go get our damn diamonds, basically. This is not the first time this has been done. When miners refuse to work, troops are sent in, and even if they have to kill and replace them all, the only desire is to get diamonds back flowing out of the country. Could be fear-mongering, but I don't doubt this at all because we all know about how the diamond trade is around there. We've all heard. I don't think all of that's disinfo. Excuse me 1 second.
No, the diamond trade is real, and obviously that's one of their, you know, all precious metals, and that's why... You know, I'm always been so stern about these people that worship precious metals because, they're a nice hedge to have, you know, against the economies that, you know, are built on this, the lies and whatever. But the thing about it is, you know, it's all based on artificial scarcity, you know, just like the diamonds. We know that the beers and which is, you know, partially owned by the Rothschild family, you know, and the rest of the Zionist crowd there has tons and tons of diamonds just sitting in warehouses, and it's just like, you know, gasoline. They wait until the market is low, and then they'll dump some more, you know, diamonds out, and you know, but the main thing about it is, you know, they got to keep those diamonds coming. You know, it's really insane though, and I mean, it makes sense to us why they would, you know, keep sending the troops over there. The only two reasons that I can think of for sending the troops over there is for one, to use them to muscle people to get the vaccine or, you know, to corral them into whatever areas they want them into. And the other reason would be like, you know, like this theory said, to break up the strikes over there and to, you know, enforce their will upon these people who don't want the, you know, like I said, the Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or any of these other groups there. You know,
yep, and there's more. I'll add to that. In addition to stealing Nigerian oil, this is another reason that they believe. Sounds pretty spot on to me, too. But you can decide. In addition to stealing Nigerian oil and forcing Sierra Leone back to mining, troops have also been sent in to force vaccinations, the deadly Ebola poison, onto those Africans who are not foolish enough to take them willingly. 3,000 troops are being sent in to make sure that this poison continues to spread. Because, again, it is only spread through vaccination. So that's their theory, that this isn't even, you can't get it even from the ways that we were told. You can only get it through a vaccination. So that would mean it's basically just a total man-made disease, if you ask me, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, how else would that be possible? If it's only through vaccination, I mean, how would they even know? They made it. They created it.
Right.
If it's legit.
Well, you know, I do think there is a legit, you know, Ebola strain, and I do think that...
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I think that what they did is they may have taken a Ebola, you know, strain and possibly added some other stuff to it. I don't think it's airborne. I think the airborne excuse is just what they're using to create more fear and to get people to be worried about, you know, about being in public with other people as well. Like, you know, they really, you know, it's weird how they've been playing both sides of the fence on that, where it's like, and that's why, to me, it just seems like a red herring they want us to follow. You know, just like the same thing about not allowing the flights and all that. Well, you know, like, it just, to me, it doesn't seem like anybody reasonable would do that. And that's what they want to do. They want to show that Obama is incompetent and everything else. We know that. We know he's a puppet for the bankers. We know that, you know. But
yeah, of course.
But the right-wingers are buying into that, and the left-wingers are you know, are saying, well, we, you know, what would you do? These are Americans. We need to help them and this and that. And, you know, and we're seeing some of that on both levels. But, again, it's partisan bullshit, you know. So, I mean, Republicans and Democrats can all jump on a ship and sink to the bottom of the ocean. I think we'd have a better world. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're all crooked, every single one of them, you know. Yeah. It's pretty crazy now. Not to get too off track, but not just how crooked they are, but they're just so inhumane, basically. I mean, they'll basically sign the death certificate of you to get an edge in the political game, you know?
Oh, of course. They don't care, man. No,
they don't give a shit, dude.
It's dog eat dog, man. And, you know, I was listening to a show the other night, and they were talking to Cynthia McKinney, who was an ex-congresswoman, and she was...
Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah, for any of the listeners who don't, though, she was, you know, a black congresswoman out of Georgia, and she was one of the first people that was, you know, with the 9/11 truth and everything. I think was the only person in Congress at the time. She also wanted to look into Senator Wellstone, and she brought up the DynaCorp and the child trafficking they were doing, you know, all this stuff. And she got blackballed from there, and they were asking her, you know, what do you know about all this satanic stuff in D.C.? And she's like, well, I really, you know, I didn't scratch the surface at the time. I mean, I don't know, maybe she's not telling the whole truth there or whatever. She's like, I didn't know that they went to certain things, and certain people used to speak the truth, and all of a sudden that they weren't available and didn't want to hear anything anymore. And it's like, well, obviously they probably are, you know, got caught banging a guy, you know, their guy got caught banging another guy, and obviously, you know, you can't, if you're in that type of position, you're going to have people trying to take you down, and that's what they do. They look for weak people, they put them in there, and if you're not weak and manipulable, they'll get rid of you, whether they got to kill you or use shady political tactics to get you out. But, I don't know, that's just, you know, my two cents on that. I think she's pretty credible when it comes to a lot of stuff. She's touched a lot of stuff that the gatekeepers won't even touch. So, you know, I'll give her that for being a congresswoman. But, yeah, I mean, back to this, you know, Brian, why don't you, if you continue reading.
Yeah, I'll finish. Yeah, there's a little more I'd like to read on there. Hold on, let me just get my place. Here we go. Okay, so I'll repeat one sentence. 3,000 troops are being sent in to make sure that this continues to spread, because, again, it is only spread through vaccination. As more and more news articles are released, as they have been in Liberia, informing the populace of the U.S. lies and manipulation, more and more Africans are refusing to visit the Red Cross. troops will force these vaccinations upon the people to ensure the visible appearance of an Ebola pandemic. Now, this sounds very likely, okay? In addition to this, they will protect the Red Cross from the Liberians and Nigerians who have been rightfully ejecting them from their countries. And last point, last but not least, the appearance of this Ebola pandemic will be used to scare the countless millions into taking an Ebola vaccine, which in reality is the pandemic. This is basically what Justin was saying. And kind of what I was saying, where they get the vaccine and that's what's getting them sick. It's kind of a combination of two. Already they have started with stories of how it has been brought into the U.S. and has appeared in Dallas. See, like a cover story. This is the perfect cover stories that they're laying right now. But if it's not really a threat, I don't want to be pushing the fear. So I'm just saying that could be one angle to it, okay? It could just be an absolute total hoax. It's still early. We still have a lot to look at. I mean, it's looking like it is a total hoax. I just want to tell you that's the way I'm leaning. But if it was real, I mean, this would be a perfect cover story.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, it may very well be real for, you know, let's say the 4,000 number or whatever, the 6,000, however many has died. Let's just say that maybe, you know, 1,000 got it. And, you know, they wiped out a village or two that people that weren't complied or vice versa. You know, maybe even 300 people got it. But we know how they love to inflate the body counts. And, you know, Chris, the CDC does it every single year when they say, what do they say, 100,000 people or 200,000 people died from the flu. They're not going off of empirical evidence. They're going off of a wild guess just by, you know, the people that died that had any type of upper respiratory illness. So, I mean, that's not exactly dying. They could have died from pneumonia, could have died from, you know, having a weak immune system, you know, whatever the case may be. They may have died from, you know, like I said, killed my grandmother with the pneumonia vaccine, so.
They did? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Are you comfortable with touching on that, or you want to know?
Yeah, no, I'll touch on it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, she was in a nursing home. She had just, actually, it wasn't the pneumonia one. It was she lasted through the pneumonia. She had a terrible case of pneumonia for, I'd say, about 2 weeks or so. It wasn't clearing up. She was hacking up stuff. And then, make a long story short, they come in Saturday night, and they give her a flu cocktail, and I guess it was a special one that was made for seniors last year, which to me sounds like a death shot right away. Didn't ask our permission or nothing like that, and just because she was in a place like that, they gave it to her. Well, next day I went to see her. She was all Sunnah, didn't know who I was, didn't know who anybody, you know. I made her drink some juice, and finally she realized who I was. But we said, this ain't right. So you got to get her to the hospital. And even the nurse said it, said the only change has been that we gave her, you know, she was coming out of the pneumonia finally. And they said we gave her the vaccine. So in my opinion, that was the end, you know, the end game for her. I of course, the doctors in the hospital denied it and said it's not possible. But we all know who they work for. So, I mean, you know, they're just big pharma minions. But not saying all doctors are bad, but 99% of them are, I would say, are not bad but crooked.
Well, they're just trained that way, you know, in the indoctrination centers. I think certainly nurses, and I think, well, a lot of doctors, like, they want to do good. Like, they just, so it's like with a dentist with the fluoride thing, you know, you can't get in there unless you subscribe to a certain thing.
Oh yeah, no. Dentists will turn you away if you tell them that you don't want your kid to get fluoride treatments. They'll actually turn you away and tell you to find another dentist. And I mean, you know, that's how it's, and that's the sad thing about academia. You know, especially in the United States, I'm sure it's the same all over the Western world. But you know, it's they're just learning. They're not learning about these things. They're just learning the protocol. You know, they don't know about these diseases. I mean, even the epidemiologists and stuff. You know, yeah, I'm sure they know them, but on the other hand, I'm sure they're being frauded as well, you know? I mean, some of them, and some of them may be in on it. It depends.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there's so many different doctors, you know, and some are more.
Oh, Justin. I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, I was going to say some of them are more like, The doctor I went to, I had a bit of a blood pressure problem. I don't know. I just went there to appease my family and friends. But yeah, he was pretty cool. You know, let me just try every natural remedy first. Obviously, I wouldn't have taken pills anyways. But, you know, whereas some doctors, they want to get you on pills straight away. You know, so they're not all bad. But then again, I live in America, so, you know, I wouldn't know what it's like over there either.
Right. No, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, there's a lot of them, too, like you said, that would say, okay, try this, try that. And on the way out, they might say, hey, do you want to take this prescription just in case? You know what I mean? That's kind of how it is over here. I have a lot of them, okay, you know, we'll try this, try it. Like, I know people with diabetes that have gone to the doctor and everything, and, you know, they're not even told about, you know, like, maybe some of them are told someone about a diet change. They're not told that you can reverse diabetes, the one that's not as bad. You know, you can reverse it with diet and a few supplements.
Type 2,
correct. Yeah, okay. I was thinking if it was type 1 or type 2, but yeah.
If you have type 1's the insulin dependent, the one you're born with in a lot of cases.
Right, okay, yeah, so no, thanks for clearing that. Yeah, so I mean, that's what I mean. If you get type 2, which obviously usually comes first, unless it's a genetic thing or something you got as a vaccine as a kid, which I think is very possible too, you know, unless that's the case, then most likely it's reversible by, you know, by eating better and, you know, exercising and obviously mm-hmm. carbs and all that shit.
It is reversible. I know a couple of people that actually reversed it, and they've lost like 150, 200 pounds, but they don't have diabetes anymore.
Right. You know, and the thing is, I even know skinny people that had it, and it just all took was them eating better and eating, you know, more greens and stuff like that, and cutting down, you know, getting any sugar or soda out of their lives and stuff like that, and drinking water, and they're fine.
We all know. We know somebody who's skinny. We know him, and he has it. He's young and he's skinny and he has it.
I know this lean guy who's like a marathon with marathon, like an international quality runner. You know, like fit as anything. That got it midlife. You know. He said the doctors told him there's no cause and no cure. But
how could that be?
Yeah, he said it was the three. He said it's the three C's. I can't remember what the third one was. Like no cause, no cure. I don't know.
but at least it's not cancer. Is that what he said?
yeah. The three C's: no cause, no cure, but at least you don't have cancer.
Somebody wrote in the chat that medical doctors exist to prescribe medicine. Oh, boy, you don't got to tell us that. We could go on that for a while because these bastards, there are some good ones, obviously, but majority, you know, so these bastards, they get kickbacks, huge kickbacks, get vacations paid for, sometimes even cars by these big pharmaceutical companies if they fill out enough prescriptions. So just think about that. Just think about how wrong that is. How does that even make any sense? So, of course, if they're getting paid for it, they're going to overprescribe the shit. Of course they are. Of course they are. As wrong as it is, I mean, everybody's going to do it for the money. Of course they get so much money for it. And God knows how much they're doing, like, illegally without writing up or whatever. Like, there's probably tons of scams they're pulling where they're making big bank on the side. Who knows? You know what I mean, Justin? Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you like this, you know, just from my own personal doctor, and I don't think he's a bad guy or not, but, I mean, you know, it's kind of hypocritical, though. I mean, the thing is, like, I went in there when I was, like, 23 years old, and I was having some problems in life and whatnot, and right away, what does he offer me but Celexa, which is, you know, an SSRI. So I turned it down. He tried to make me take it. So finally, I took it home. I never took it. You know, and he asked me how I was doing it. I said, listen, I got anxiety. I don't have depression. I said, depression isn't my issue. I said, you know, my anxiety is. And even that, you know, make a long story short, I found out, I talked to like three or four other patients of his, went in there with the same type of thing or you know, even something different. Even went in there with you know, oh, well, maybe you got depression too, and tried to give them Celexa. So obviously, Celexa, you know, gave this guy a certain amount to give out, and he must, you know, be getting a certain amount of money for every script that he writes.
Unbelievable. I've seen it take people's lives and just control their lives. People in my family, people I'm personally very close to, and These doctors, I mean, they just doctor shop. I mean, they just bounce around until they get exactly what they want. They've got doctors that'll take care of them for this, doctors that'll take care of them for that, you know?
Didn't they try and ram blood pressure pills down your throat a few years ago?
Yeah, yeah, they did. Like, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe it's a little longer now. My memory is, as years go by, it's probably been 6 or 7 years. I went to the primary care physician because I just got health insurance, so I figured I'd go down there, and he told me my blood pressure was, I don't even know what the number was, but it was like double what it's supposed to be, and they gave me these hot, what is it, James? Yeah, blood pressure. They gave me these blood pressure medications.
Yeah, probably either water pills or beta blockers. Beta blockers,
they were big horse pills. They were like a light red color, and they were huge, and they're oval-shaped, and they and I never took them. I can't stand taking pills, you know? I always thought that there's always a natural way to get rid of stuff. And the pills, you ever watch a commercial for these goddamn pills? What do you hear at the end? You hear fucking 700 ways it's going to kill you. Like, dude, the side effects aren't even a joke. It's not like might be itchy, might be... No, it's might get suicidal, might go on a killing spree, might murder a mother of six and kill the babies and drown them in a lake. You know? It's ridiculous, dude. It's ridiculous.
They have that on the
bottle. No, they have some stuff, though. They'll put, like, might cause schizophrenia. They'll put shit like that on there sometimes. Sometimes they won't even bother. I mean... It's crazy around here. I think it's probably the same around where Justin lives. Like the amount of girls I know that it prescribes Xanax, it's through the roof. Like they don't all have anxiety more than a regular person. Everybody has anxiety. You know what I mean? Like to some degree, you know.
Right.
And I'm not shitting on anybody for doing it. I mean, I've done my things in my day, but I'm just saying like the doctors are the problem, not the only problem, but they're maybe the biggest part of the problem. They might be a bigger part of the problem than the drug dealers. Where do you think the drug dealers are getting it from in the beginning? A lot of it's coming from people that have prescriptions legally writ up.
Well, they're the biggest drug dealers. Like even just with alcohol, grocery stores are the biggest drug dealers.
That's true, James. Grocery stores, most around my house, don't sell alcohol. In the next town over, they're allowed to, but in my city, they're not allowed to.
What?
Yeah, my city, grocery store is not allowed to sell alcohol.
Oh, wow.
You have to go the next town over.
It can't be as bad. We had the blue state laws until a couple years ago. I think just 2010, 2011, they finally passed it to allow package stores to stay open past 8 o'clock and to be open on Sundays here. That's how bad it was.
We're open till 11, and some of them close at 6 on Sundays, but there's a rule where if you're within 10 miles of the New Hampshire border, you can go by, you can stay open till 11 or whatever, and so there's some on one side of the city that stay open. They stay open later than the other ones on the other side of the city on Sundays. And not regular days, it's 11. New Hampshire's 11:45. So it's not that bad. It's pretty late.
Yeah, New York is good for that, but I mean, you know, but...
Yeah, why don't I wrap up reading this this thing, and then we'll move on. And we'll open the phone calls after this, too. If anybody wants to call in and talk about Ebola, this will be the time right after I finish this paragraph. All right, guys? So I know some people wanted to call in. If anybody wants to call in and talk about Ebola, call in. If you want to talk about something else, just give us a little bit. We're going to touch on one or two more things, and then we'll just open the phones for anything you might want to talk about at all, anything under the sun. All right? If you ask yourself, if Ebola, hey, you know who wrote this, Justin? Jim Stone.
Oh, is that from Jim Stone? Okay.
Yeah, it says reference Jim Stone Freelance at the bottom, so I'm assuming he wrote it. That's not where I got it from, but yeah, he must have wrote it. He's a pretty smart guy, huh? He has a lot of stuff he's pretty much on.
Yeah, I like Jim Stone a lot of his work. I think that he's definitely cut through the chase on a lot of these things. Interesting to know it came from him. You continue with it, though, that's definitely.
All right, ask yourself, if Ebola was spread from person to person instead of controlled spread through vaccination, then why would the CDC and the U.S. government continue to allow flights in and out of these countries with absolutely no regulation or at all? We have got to start thinking and sharing information globally because they do not want to give the true perspective of the people who live here in West Africa. They are lying for their own benefit, and there aren't enough voices out there with a platform to help share our reality. Hundreds of thousands have been killed, paralyzed, and disabled by these and other new vaccines all over the world, and we are finally becoming aware of it. Now what will we do with all the information? Reference Gemstone. Pretty good piece. I don't know who exactly his source was, but his source is Nani Kwame. And it's spelled like Nana Kwame, K-W-A-M-E. The very first paragraph, we skipped over it, she wrote to open it. She wrote, people in the Western world need to know what's happening here in West Africa. They are lying. Ebola as a virus does not exist and is not spread. The Red Cross has brought a disease to four specific countries for four specific reasons, and it's only contracted by those who receive treatments and injections from the Red Cross. That is why Liberians and Nigerians have been kicking the Red Cross out of their countries and reporting in the news the truth. Now, bear with me. And then it goes into everything we read. I thought that was a pretty good piece. That's some pretty good theories laid out by Jim Stone.
Definitely.